We want to talk about the eternal house guest tonight. Some of you may have experienced an eternal house guest in the past, or at least one that felt like it was going to last forever. I like to take a look at passages of Scripture in a way that I haven't looked at them in the past. And we want to do that today with Psalm 23. Most of you are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. In fact, there are people that don't even go to church anywhere that know the 23rd Psalm. We have it plastered with pictures similar to this one on walls all over this country, with a picture of Jesus and some sheep and these six verses. And it's interesting because I, of course, too, had grown up hearing the 23rd Psalm, hearing it quoted and talked about, but it wasn't until I was actually asked specifically to do a lesson on it from the perspective of hospitality that I really saw it in a new light, saw it in a way that I had not seen it before. I want you to, if you've turned to Psalm 23, or perhaps you just turned there in your memory, and probably, if you're like most people, you've probably memorized it in the King James Version or are most familiar with it from the King James translation. And let's consider that psalm as we get started. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you think about that psalm, when you read that psalm or hear that psalm, what do you think of? You think of Jesus as the Good Shepherd? Probably so. Do you think of God's love? Quite possibly. Do you think of God's providence, how He cares for you, His comfort? Do you think of us being His sheep and, of course, with Him as the shepherd? But have you ever thought of hospitality when you've read this psalm? Certainly not something that just leaps to mind when we read that psalm. We think about a lot of things, but we don't think about having somebody over to our house when we think about that. And yet, when we really dig into it, I think it's clear that God is showing us how to be hospitable in a way that perhaps as Americans we've lost a long time ago. I want us to think about this. As I began thinking about it in terms of hospitality, we begin by saying, well, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, now, if He's my shepherd, what does that make me? Well, I'm a sheep. Now, I remember reading enough about Abraham and about different ones in the Old Testament times and in the New Testament times too. What did they do with sheep? Well, yes, they sheared them to get wool, but they had a bad habit of eating them. Now, if the Lord's a shepherd and He's going to show hospitality and I'm the sheep, does that mean I'm going to get served up for supper? I hope not. And I don't think so. I think it's very interesting what we see painted here. It's not, that certainly doesn't sound like a pleasant thought, does it? But if we look at it more closely, it's fascinating what we see the psalmist doing with this psalm. As we look more closely at it, we realize the good shepherd here is not being hospitable to some stranger who has come to visit and serving up his sheep for them to eat. Instead, it's the sheep that are receiving the hospitality. It's the little lamb that has been being shown the love. They are more than the shepherd's livelihood in this passage of Scripture. They are his guests. So I want us to turn our attention to a couple of things, and we'll try to get through this quickly so that we don't go over our time and we can eat after a while. Let's turn our attention to how we define and practice love and hospitality. Tell me if any of these sound familiar to you. When we think about, how do I show somebody I care about them? How do I show them I love them? How do I show hospitality as a Christian? How do I do that? Buying someone dinner? Inviting someone to the fellowship meal? I invited someone to come up to eat with us today. Maybe you did as well. Well, okay, that's certainly a kind thing to offer. Inviting someone over for dinner. Giving a family member a bed for the night if they're traveling through. Now let me tell you, I had some family members who wouldn't even go that far. I broke down around Forest on Highway 20 down there. I had some family that lived in Brandon, just outside of Jackson. It was about 20 miles from where I broke down. And I called them and I said, it was already, 7, 8 o'clock at night. I said, I broke down over here. It's going to be tomorrow before they can work on my car. Can I come stay with you? Can you come get me and let me stay the night with you? Oh, no, we can't do that. It's too far. Some family member. So maybe we think about, letting a family member have a bed for the night. Maybe giving a fellow Christian a bed for the night. Maybe we'd let them stay with us for a night. Maybe we say, well, we'll call and book a hotel for the preacher that's coming in to preach the gospel meeting or something. As long as the church pays for it and I don't have to pay for it out of my pocket, I'll make the phone call and book it, right? All right. We might say, I'm being real hospitable there. Benjamin Franklin, always a wit with words, said, "Fish and guests both stink after 3 days." And that pretty much nails our American attitude toward hospitality, isn't it? Well, I'll give you a bed for the night. I'll take you out to eat. Maybe I'll let you eat at my house. But after 3 days, you better be gone from here. And that's pretty much the end of our feelings of hospitality. What's amazing that we see throughout the Scriptures is that the people of the Bible practiced a far, far deeper form of hospitality. Of course, on many occasions, they took in total strangers, even as Lot did with those two angels in disguise in the city of Sodom. But this bad attitude toward hospitality, this idea that, fish and guests, they both stink after 3 days, it works its way into the church as well, to where we become people who don't show hospitality, who don't show the love of God in our lives toward others. Well, let's turn our attention now just for a moment to the structure of this psalm. At first glance, it kind of looks like, the end of it kind of deals with hospitality. He's talking about preparing a table. That's like inviting somebody to dinner, isn't it? So he talks about a few of these things. But dwelling in the Lord's house, that's kind of like spending the night with somebody. So that kind of fits with hospitality. But the first part may not seem like it does. But if we'll look at it closely, as we will in just a moment, we'll see that this whole thing is showing God's love and hospitality toward us, and showing us an example that we should be following more closely. And we may even be tempted to divide this psalm in half, because did you notice at the first part he says, the Lord, he does this, he does that, and then starting in verse 4, He says, "Thou, you are with me." And then he starts going, "Thou has done it. You have done it." So first he starts off in the third person. And then he switches to second person. So first he's talking about the Lord. And then he's talking to the Lord. And so we might want to kind of divide that now. Well, that's like two different things. But it's really not all that unusual. We actually have several songs in our songbook where different verses speak in a different second or third person type thing. Far and near, for example, the second verse speaks of sending them, and the third verse is addressing the one being sent as thou, and there are certainly other songs that we sing. So it's basically what we have here is what we call the first three verses, probably really equivalent to what in our songs would be one verse, and then verses 4 through 6 would be the equivalent of what in our songs today would be a second verse. So in the first verse he's talking about the Lord, and in the second part he's talking to the Lord. In that song Far and Near, we had talking about them, then talking to the one being sent as a you, and then in the chorus addressing the Lord of harvest, send forth reapers. So you turn and talk to the Lord himself in that song. So it's not a totally uncommon thing. We just don't usually think about switching from first person to second person to third person speech. But now we want to really dig in to what this section of Scripture teaches us about how God defines and practices hospitality. What is the example that He has given us from this psalm? And let's notice a few things that a good host provides as we work our way through this. Remember, the shepherd, the Lord, is the host, and we are the guests. And so let's notice some of the things that He shows us a good host will provide. First of all, He says, we see that a good host provides for all needs. Notice the psalmist says, "I shall not want." Everything that I wanted was provided. A good host provides for all needs. Philippians 4:19, Paul says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Then we notice that a good host provides rest. He makes me lay down. He makes me lie down. He tells me, get comfortable. Make yourself at home. Take your shoes off. Put your feet up. Rest. We also see that a good host provides the best. The good host gives the best he has to offer. Notice he makes me lie down in the green pastures. Takes me to the good places. I don't know, you ever do that? You can probably tell by looking at me, I like ice cream. I'm particularly fond of Bluebell ice cream. And we used to have a guest that would come regularly. He was a traveling salesman, and he would come through our area real regular-like, and he would stay with us when he came through. And if I knew he was coming, I might be tempted to hide the Bluebell in the back of the freezer and get one of the cheap, you know, Walmart brands to put in there, because he liked ice cream too. And I didn't want to be a rude host and not offer him ice cream, but I didn't want him eating my best ice cream. Aren't we kind of that way sometimes? But see, a good host provides the best. The shepherd put the sheep in the good green pastures, not in the faded brown pastures, not in the ones like this poor fellow down here got his sheep in the burnt down pasture, if y'all seen that lately. Hopefully it'll grow back green this spring, but you don't want to put your sheep in the burned up pasture. You want them in the green pasture. And that's what a good host does, gives the best. A good host provides for the thirst of his guests. Notice he leads me by the still waters. course, it's important for sheep. Sheep are very skittish, and they're very scared by movement. And so a rushing stream or a babbling brook is going to scare them away. But the still water, they like that. And the good shepherd knows what they like. So in the South, everybody provides sweet tea, don't we? I mean, that's kind of... And I feel bad when folks come to my house because I don't ever keep tea in the house because I don't drink tea. And so I never have tea. Or maybe some coffee. And I don't drink coffee either, so I don't have any coffee to offer. And all I have is water. But hey, that's what the psalmist says the good shepherd offered, so it ought to be good enough, hadn't it? But he provides for the thirst of his guests. He gives the still waters. Now Jesus, of course, provided living water. John 4:14 tells us, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And that's the psalmist description of the shepherd taking us by the still waters. But Jesus provides us the living water, the eternal life that can come through that water. Then we see that a good host provides spiritually as well as physically. We've seen the physical things, rest and good needs provided for and thirst taken care of. But now spiritually as well. Notice, He restores my soul. It's interesting, a couple of times, Philemon 1 and verse 20 says, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Refresh my heart. Make me feel refreshed again. Restore my soul." The idea along those lines. Acts 3:19, "Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You know, it's good to have physical things taken care of, but when someone provides for your spiritual needs as well as your physical needs, that's a double blessing. And we see that with what the psalmist paints this picture for us. But then also a good host provides a godly example to follow. Notice that the shepherd leads in paths of righteousness. Now what kind of host would it be if they tried to corrupt you, tried to lead you into sin instead of leading you into righteousness? Sometimes that's the case. Some people have gotten into a lot of trouble. You know, they go to see their friend and their friend talks them into drugs or alcohol or robbing a convenience store or any number of other, you know, who knows what all different things people have been led into because of someone that was supposed to be showing them hospitality and should have been helping to lead them in paths of righteousness, but was not. And then the good host also provides protection. Psalmist says, "I will fear no evil." You know, when you're in the home or under the protection of a good host, you don't have to be afraid. They'll protect you. We think about Lot protecting those two strangers. The lengths that he went to are really a little disturbing to us to think about the lengths he was willing to go to protect those two men, two angels in the appearance of men. But it's a sad thing to think about. But at the same time, we have to protect those who are under our care, under our protection, so to speak. Psalm 94 and verse 22, "The Lord is my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge." Zechariah 12:8, "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He that's feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them." He talks about God defending us. He gave us that example to follow as well. But then the good host also provides companionship. "You are with me. Thou art with me." That companionship. Matthew 28 and verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth," the end of the world. Also a good host provides structure, stability, and help. He says, the rod and the staff, they comfort me. And the rod was used to both defend the sheep from something that might attack them, but also to discipline the sheep. The staff was used to help the sheep out of difficult situations. It had that crook on it so that if the sheep fell down into a hole, the crook of the staff could hook it and lift it back up. Rules of the house are there for our good. The Lord's house has rules. Your house has rules. You get to set the rules in your house. And if I come to visit at your house as a good guest, I'm going to abide by the rules of your house. And you've given that structure, that stability, but you're also helping me to know what is appropriate and inappropriate in your house. And different houses have different rules. When I was a young boy, one of the families at church, I used to go home with their son, and they lived out on the farm. And their boots got muddy. Their cowboy boots were muddy all the time. And so they had a mud room, and when you walked in the door, you took your shoes off. You didn't walk into the house except in your stocking feet. And that's their rule. When I was at their house, that was different than our rule at our house. But we lived on a city street. We didn't have to worry about a whole lot of mud tracking in. But we had different rules than they did. But we abide by the rules of that house. But a good host provides structure, stability, and help. A good host also provides physical nourishment and serves. Gives service to those. Prepare a table. We think about Abraham serving in Genesis 18, 6 through 8, when the strangers show up. And he quickly prepares a meal and has it ready. It says, in fact, verse 7, he ran to the herd and got a calf and gave it unto a young man who hastened to dress it. They were trying to get that dinner ready as quick as possible so that those travelers would not have to wait so long. We think too about a good host providing comfort in the midst of discomfort. That table that's prepared was in the presence of my enemies. Even though, don't we live in this world where we're surrounded by ungodly people. But a good Christian host is going to provide for some comfort in the midst of an uncomfortable world. Revelation 3:9, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before your feet and know that I have loved you. Won't that be wonderful on the day of judgment? To go stand before God, and as He punishes the wicked, to be letting them know, I've loved those that loved me, that have been faithful to me. A good host cares for the good health and hygiene of his guests. You anoint my head with oil. We don't do that anymore. But, you know, we give someone, well, you know, go wash your hands, you know. We provide a shower available for somebody who spent the night and things of that nature. We may, you know, wash their clothes, that kind of thing. But we take care of their good health. And if they got a headache, we'll offer them an aspirin, those kinds of things. We don't anoint people's heads with oil, but that certainly was the things that they did back then. Jesus even talked about that when he was a guest in someone's house. He said, and when I came in, you anointed my head with oil. The guy was a good host. But this woman that came in, the sinful woman, had anointed his feet. She went way further. She was showing much more love than the other one did. Then we see also that a good host provides generously. My cup runs over. You know, you're not skimpy with it. You don't just give them a little bit. You pile it up. We went door knocking in Walker County, Alabama one time when I was in college, and we went for the weekend. And every house we went to, we went out visiting some of the church members, and every place we went, you know what they wanted to do? can we get you something to eat, something to drink? Everywhere we went. And so we were offered, I don't know how many sandwiches and cookies and pound cakes and iced tea and water and Coke. And by the end of the afternoon, we just had to say, well, look, we just can't handle any more. Like the one fellow said, he said, now my mama's like this. He said, if you just want a little bit, or he said, if you want a lot, you tell her you just want a little bit. If you just want a little bit, you tell her you don't want any. And if you really don't want any, you're just going to have to hit her over the head because she's going to give you some. And sometimes that's the way it is. But that's generosity. My cup's running over. It's full. Jesus was like that. John 10:10-11. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He came to give us an abundant life. But then a good host also gives some for the road. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. When your guests are leaving, do you pack them a sack lunch to take with them? Get them a glass of cold water, a cup of cold water to take with them? Refill their water jug or whatever it might be? Now, this is the kind of idea that we have. Give them some to take with them when they go. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, both quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He's given us more than we deserved and continues to give. But then a good host also goes beyond expectations. He provides more than is expected. Notice this. I shall dwell in the house forever. We, as the psalmist says, will be God's house guests, not just for a day or two, not just for a week, not even a year. Forever, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, we're so used to having our own place. It's my house. It's my apartment. This is my place. But we won't in heaven. We'll be in the Lord's house. It won't be ours. To be His. We'll just be guests there. We need to think about that. But beyond all expectation, we could never have expected God to do what He has done. John 14:1-3, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Remember Benjamin Franklin's quote? Guests and fish stink after 3 days. What about after eternity? That's a different take on hospitality that the Lord gives us from what Benjamin Franklin gives us, isn't it? Very different perspective. You know, Nathan, when he's talking to David about his sin with Bathsheba, he describes a man who had a little sheep, a little lamb that he treated like it was his own child. And it slept in his bed and he kept it in the house and he loved it. In 2 Samuel 12:1-4, he talks about this. And he said, it ate his own food and drank his own drink. Does that sound familiar? That sounds a lot like the shepherd that the psalmist describes in Psalm 23, doesn't it? Come in my house, sleep in my bed, eat my food, drink my drink. Nathan described that kind of a relationship. His sheep were part of his family. And that's the way God treats us. We're part of His family. What changes you need to make in your life to be more loving and more hospitable, more like God? What can we do to show that same kind of hospitality that the psalmist shows us that God has and that the Lord, our shepherd, has for us? If you've appreciated His hospitality, then why not share that kind of graciousness with others? If you have a need to respond to God's invitation at this time for any reason, please come as we stand and sing.